place yourself in the position of a buyer looking at your property. And the more clear you can make those financials or those maintenance records or those contracts, the lease contracts, you know, the clearer things are and the more organized they are, the more confidence that the buyer is going to have in what you're offering. And that confidence is going to translate into, you know, a better price for you as a seller.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me, as always, on these Wednesdays is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you today?
Well, I was fantastic, but then I started getting some emails on this property I've got, and there's a bunch of AC units that aren't working, and this the seller that has sold this building to us is, there's a lot of just hidden stuff that they likely knew about, that they just, you know, they just kind of hid and, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. When you buy an older building and, it's a value add, that's, people hide things. And so sometimes you got sellers that are a little unethical. Other times you get good sellers. That's just how it is. So you kind of got to count on, you know, repairs, in which we did. But we're just, we weren't, you know, looking forward to more repairs.
So. Yeah. Well, that's why you talk so much about having that cushion or a very conservative repair estimates and, you know, that whoops factor.
Yep. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's exactly it. And this is going to be one of those things where, you know, it's just some extras that we didn't plan on. You know, just the worst part about, some of these unplanned repairs are like this property in particular, we had some, you know, higher vacancy, not extremely high, but higher vacancy. And these tenants, there's just been problems almost since day one of things breaking down. Like the previous management company owner did nothing, just abused these tenants. I mean, the more I find out these guys, like, they're terrible people. So hopefully they're not listening. Well, hopefully they are, because they're terrible people. Anybody that treats their tenants like this, I have just no respect for. These tenants are paying you money, and you should treat them with respect. And these people, the owner and the previous management company, had zero respect for these tenants. They were filthy people. They're terrible people. And so anyway, so this property, these tenants were abused and they're tired of it. And so I think I'm just trying to do as much damage control as possible. And so we'll get one thing that'll break down, and then this tenant will have another thing that'll break down, and another thing that'll break down. And they're getting, I think a lot of people are just getting fed up with it. And things have been band-aid for so long, and we're telling them we're going to fix things. Well, we can only get to them so fast because there's just so many repairs.
Yeah. So with this particular property, do you have an on-site maintenance person, or are you?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have on-site leasing staff. We have on-site maintenance. But you know, it's a 84 unit building, so it's not big enough to have a big team on it. So we're having to pull in other contractors to try to get this work done quick enough, because you want to stay on top of it. And for me, I can't treat my tenants that way. So, yeah. So that's whatever. It is what it is. Like I said, I mean, that's what you get when you buy a building, an apartment building. It's not all roses. Right. It'll work out in the end. I know it will, but right now it's frustrating, of course. And as you could probably tell by my rant about the previous owners, I'm not extremely happy with the situation, but you roll with it and you fix the problem and you treat your tenants with respect, and eventually it'll come back and you'll profit from it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all part of the process. It's not exactly passive income, right? There's some active involvement there.
Yeah. Anybody that thinks apartment buildings or real estate in general is passive is, that's not it at all. If you're owning it, of course, if you just invest in it, then it is passive. But if you're owning it, but even if you're investing it, I've got investors and, they're going to get an email, that we send our emails out by the 15th. So they'll get an email, that'll tell them about what's going on here. And if they listen to this podcast before then, they'll know. You've got problems and they're just going to come up.
Yep. So I don't know if we are planning to talk about this today, but that just made me wonder. So you have a monthly email that goes out to your investors, and what do you usually include in that?
Yeah. So this property, we just purchased. So we've been just sending kind of an update of how things are going. Now, as like this new email that I'll send out this month, it'll have just a quick financial snapshot. Here's the income, here are the expenses, here's the net, kind of where we're at based on our projections. And this property is not going to make any money this year. It just won't. And that was projected. I told all the investors up front, like, look, this isn't going to make money year one, but here's what year two is going to look like, and here's what year three and year four and year five. So year three and four and are going to look and beyond look really, really good. Year one, again, it might make a couple bucks, but it's not going to make a lot. And then year two will make some money, but it'll start out a little less, and then it'll increase. And by the end of year two, we'll be clicking along really, really well. So that'll just show kind of, here's kind of our projection. Here's where we're at this month. And here's what's, coming up. And since we're in the renovation process, it'll talk about, where we're at in that phase and what's coming next and any problems that we've had along the way.
Nice, nice. So. Okay, well, let's get into the show today. Well, we want to start off with just a comment that came in through Facebook, Pillars of Wealth Creation Facebook page. It says, "Hey, Todd, I really enjoyed the podcast today on syndication. I was a little confused about the preferred return and was hoping you could give some clarification on it. I feel like I have heard that if you're giving an 8% preferred return, that you reduce the equity to like 50 to 60 or 60 to 40. I think it would be hugely beneficial for me if you could go over an example using real numbers. Thank you for the content you put out there on the podcast. I really enjoy it and get a lot out of it.
So preferred return, that's not going to really, well, I shouldn't say it's not going to, you can do anything you want, right? As a syndicator, whatever your investors are going to allow you to do or be happy with you. You want to obviously do it so it's in their best interest as well, but preferred return doesn't mean a guaranteed return. So just to specify, if the property only makes, let's say 5% and you did a preferred return of 8%, that means the investors get that full 5% and you as the sponsor get nothing. You just don't get paid. But it doesn't mean they're guaranteed. It doesn't mean you promised them 8%. It means that you told them, look, you're getting the first 8%. So let's just say the building makes, or so let's just say the investors invest a total, a cumulative of $1 million, right? Each year, you're going to give them $80,000. That's 8%. So you're going to give them the first $80,000 that comes in. Now, if the building, again, if the building makes $60,000, you give them all of the $60,000, you just get nothing. Okay. So each year you give them their preferred return. If the building makes the $80,000, they get all of that. Now, if the building makes $81,000, you take that $1,000, the $1,000 over the 80, and you split that, whatever your split is. So in the case that we talked about last week, it was a 70-30 split. So 70% goes to the investor, so they get $700, and 30% goes to you as the sponsor, so you get $300, okay? And so, if again, we could use any number. If you make $120,000, the investors get $28,000, and you as the sponsor get $12,000 because we've got that $40,000 above the 80. Okay. So it doesn't reduce necessarily the investor's equity. It can if you want it to. If you wanted to say, hey, I'm going to give you a 10% preferred return, but we're going to do 50-50. You could do that. That might work. You just got to make sure the building is going to support what you want to do and your investors are going to support what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a great example. So the topic that we wanted to go into today, again, continuing on our apartment investing series, is selling. So it's kind of hopefully going to wrap up the series here.
Yeah. So do you want to sell? I think that's the biggest question. Do you want to sell? And what's the advantage of selling or disadvantage of selling too? There's advantages and disadvantages. You know, I'm looking right now at my single family and 1-4 unit portfolio. I call it a single family, but 1-4 unit portfolio. And what do I want to sell? And what do I want to keep? And do I want to sell? Because when you look at it, you go, okay, if I sell this building, I get $100,000 or whatever it is. But if I'm going to take that $100,000, what can I do with it? Do I have to pay taxes or can I actually 1031 it? If I can 1031 it, great. But can I find something that's good enough? I don't know. And so if you take the cash now, instead of that $100,000, now you get $70,000 or so, because we live in a high tax state. We're in Minnesota. You're going to have to pay 10% state income tax on top of that 15%. And you got to pay your depreciation back. So it might be 30-35% that you got to pay back. So now let's just say you've got $70,000 left. Well, if you're not going to find a great investment, you're just going to invest it in something, let's say it's put it in the stock market and make 8% on your money. Well, 8% of $70,000 isn't that great when you have this property that was giving you some cash flow. Right. And but what you have to also look at is not just what the cash flow you're getting on a property. You have to look at what the equity being built on that property is. And you also have to look at what the mortgage pay down is too. So as you own a building, the longer you own a building, the more percentage of that mortgage you're going to pay down. Because if you've got a 25-year AM and you've already paid off, let's say, 6 years or 8 years, the more interest you're paying off every year. So you're paying, or more principal, I mean, you're paying off every year. So you're paying down that loan and you're gaining the equity as the market raises, and you're getting the cash flow and you're getting the tax write-offs too. So you've got to look at the whole picture. Sometimes it's challenging to sell when you're getting all those great benefits. So, but we're going to talk about selling. So let's say we made that decision. We're selling now. Okay. But we decided we're 1031 exchanging or whatever it is. What do we got to do to sell? So, first of all, you need to be thinking about selling. If we're dealing with apartment, you need to think about selling plenty in advance, not just like a couple days and then you go, okay, I'm going to sell. We got to figure it out well in advance, and we have to be prepared for it. So the more prepared for it, the better off you're going to be. Okay. So there's several things that we want to look at. First of all, property, financials, and reporting. Okay. So having, you know, accurate records, from start to finish, you want to be able to provide these prospective buyers a T12, a trailing 12-month statement of what have we had going on, what kind of income, what kind of loss. You want to have, you know, 2 to 3 years of profit and loss statements, current rent roll. You want to have, you know, your leases ready, your contracts for services, your tax schedules, surveys, old environmentals, list of all the renovations completed, all that kind of stuff. So any questions on that part, John?
No, that makes sense. I mean, one piece that, you know, I like to point out with this is just place yourself in the position of a buyer looking at your property. Mm-hmm. And the more clear you can make those financials or those maintenance records or those contracts, the lease contracts, you know, mm-hmm. the clearer things are and the more organized they are, the more confidence that the buyer is going to have in what you're offering. And that confidence is going to translate into, you know, a better price for you as a seller.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. Obviously, if the property's a dump, it doesn't do much good. But if, you know, if you're running it effectively, that's definitely, it's going to help. Because if you've got sloppy records, it's hard to get financing. So they're not going to be able to get as good of financing. Even if they can get financing, it's going to be worse terms and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if your records are garbage, they're going to expect a small discount or maybe even a big discount, because they're going to understand that you're sloppy and you don't care. So yeah, get your records in order for sure. Mm-hmm. And take your records to the broker. A lot of brokers will actually, you know, audit and do not audit, not, you know, but look at your stuff and say, hey, here's what your building's valued at. And they'll, oh, here's where your rents could be. You know, these are, because they have that, all that stuff. Like Marcus and Millichamp, I talked to one of their brokers, and a lot of, not just Marcus and Millichamp, I mean, John, I'm sure you would. But a lot of people will go, hey, you know, here's what your building is performing at. Here's what it could perform at. You know, because you could just, it's really easy just to pull up some rent comps and say, well, here's where the rent comps are. Get your building up to this level, and then it's worth this price instead. And so you can get that kind of free report. And the reason why they'll do that is because they want your business, right? So they want you to increase your building value so it's worth more. And that way you're going, all right, it's worth a lot more money. Let's sell it now. Okay. So,
yep. Yeah, a lot of property owners don't really keep up with the trends in rents, you know.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're at in the country, rents have increased quite a bit the last several years. And, you know, you don't want to over increase your rents and just end up getting a lot of vacancies because nobody can afford it anymore. But you want to relatively stay in step with the the market.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, if you just kept everybody the same as when you bought it 5 years ago, then, you know, it's not going to be worth the same as the property next door that did keep their rents up.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that brings us on to our next topic, which is increase the property performance, right? So owners should be doing as much as they can to maximize their rents, minimize their vacancies, and minimize their expenses overall. Of course, you don't want to jeopardize the future performance of that property. You don't want to, you know, not be doing repairs, like we talked about in the beginning, not be doing repairs, abusing your tenants, and then, you know, jeopardizing the property. Because if you don't sell it, you're stuck with the damage you've done. And of course, if you do sell it, you've got to, you know, hopefully sleep at night. And I don't know, I guess I couldn't sleep at night if I did that to somebody. So yeah, you want to make sure that you're not jeopardizing your property. You know, what if it doesn't sell? What if, you know, you're getting offers that you don't like and you just decide I'm going to keep it? Well, if you've done things that are going to damage the future of the property, that's not a good thing. So,
yeah, you know, that's the thing that you really have to balance between reducing your expenses. You know, you don't want to overpay for things. You don't want to pay for things that you don't need, but keeping in mind that you're offering a product and that product is a clean, safe place for people to live. And in order to do that, it takes, you know, expenses. It takes repairs, upgrades, different things along the way. So you definitely want to, you know, do make the repairs that need to be done.
Yep. Yep. And also big thing on expenses are your energy costs. So mm-hmm. You can get energy audits. There's a lot of companies that'll do it for either free or just a smaller fee. And you can get an energy audit and really reduce a lot of your utility expenses. I mean, these low flow toilets that are, you know, 1 gallon type toilets will save a ton of money, especially if you have the old like 5 gallon toilet still in there. You can just save a boatload of money by doing these energy audits, and it'll cost you a little bit up front. But if you plan it far enough in advance, those are capital improvements or could be capital improvements. But if you plan it far enough advanced, they're not going to see that when they look at the P&Ls. They're not going to really see that. They're going to look and see the low utility cost and go, wow, this thing's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Those utility costs is a huge way that you can reduce your expenses and not, you know, put any detriment to the tenants. So yeah. Another example is lighting. So If you're paying any common area lighting or parking lot lighting, you know, if you can change over to LED, that can do a huge reduction in your electricity bill.
Yep. Yep. And there's oftentimes, government credits for stuff like that. You know, Fannie Freddie, they'll give you better terms on your loans for that. So there's oftentimes incentives if you go and do that kind of stuff too. So not only will it reduce your expenses, but it'll further reduce your expenses beyond what you originally thought if you look at all the cost savings that can be involved.
Yeah. But like you said, you want to do this ahead of time. So you're going to reap more benefits if you do it a couple of years before you sell, because then you'll have a track record of lower utility bills.
Yep. 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 Most of this stuff that we're talking about should be done years, you know, a year or so in advance. Even 2 years in advance would be good for a lot of the stuff, because it's just going to help your property performance. And that's what you want to be able to show is a good trailing 12 months. And of course, even a better, you know, trailing 3 and all that kind of stuff. You want to show that this property is really performing well. But when I look at a property, I'm not just, well, a lot of brokers will sell you on a T3. I never look at the trailing 3. I'm always looking at least the trailing 12 and even the years prior to it. So the longer you can have this track record, the better.
Yep.
So then the other thing is, you know, make it look good from the outside and make those common areas look good. I think there's a common misperception that investors don't buy, you know, buildings that look good, that are cute, that are pretty. That's so wrong. There's so many investors that buy buildings because they look good. And I guarantee they do. And I hear it all the time. Oh, that's a nice looking building. And you're going to pay more for a nice looking building. You just are. So make your building look nice. Look nice with the landscaping. Look nice, just clean. You know, replace windows if you need to. Make sure the blinds are in good order. Make sure common areas are clean and well lit. You know, things are painted that should be painted. All that kind of stuff. So, it definitely adds value by making your building look pretty. I guarantee it does.
Yep. Definitely. I mean, it attracts better buyers. It's going to attract better tenants too. So it's better all around.
Yep.
So we're coming into spring right now. And since all the snow has finally melted.
I still got a little snow pile outside.
You know, now we can see all the trash that's built up. Now we can see, you know, the volunteer trees along the fence lines or the weeds and all that stuff. So, you know, definitely want to get people out there to clean up the yards, clean up the exterior.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, spend a little bit of extra time. I mean, you know, it goes back to, are you taking care of your tenants? Your tenants deserve to have a good, clean place. So, you know, just. You're going to do it anyway, or at least you should. So get out there right away and get it done right and make the building look good. It's like you said, it's going to attract good tenants too. And so you end up having move outs. Now's the common time to have move outs, spring, summer. And so you want your building to look slick and, you know, have a nice parking lot, have good common spaces that are fresh looking and lit well, have your outside lit well. And make sure your office and clubhouse area are inviting and shine and, you know, look good. And then the other thing too is have good signage in front of your building. If you have a nice, really nice looking sign, believe it or not, that adds, I think, a decent amount of value to the building.
Yep.
So
not one of those Home Depot purchase for rent signs, you mean?
Yeah. Those are great. Maybe on a single family house.
Yeah. Oh, very good. So we've covered here proper reporting, financials. We've covered increased property performance years in advance, make the curb appeal good. And then what about marketing the property?
Yeah. So last thing is finding the right broker. So finding somebody that's going to be willing to list your building is going to be pretty easy, but finding somebody that's going to do a good job at it is the key. So, you know, and then you want to look at strategy too. Do you want to list the property in open market, make sure the broker's getting it out to everyone? Do you want to put a price on it? Do you want to, you know, or do you want to just say, hey, send this to your mailing list. I don't want this quote unquote listed. Just send it to your mailing list to see if you can sell it. Some people don't even contract with brokers. They just tell brokers, several of them, that, hey, I've got this building for sale. And if you can sell it, great. That's going to be, you know, maybe I don't know if that's the best way to do it. I think I would sign on with a broker, but you got to find somebody that's good, that's going to work with you, that's going to market your property properly. It's going to put a nice offering memorandum together. So the offering memorandum is going to have pro forma projections. It's going to show, it's going to talk about the property. It's also going to talk about the comps around the property, why this thing can even increase in value even more, why the area is super strong, all that kind of stuff. Those are really valuable packages that investors will look at And so you want to make sure a broker is going to be able to do that for you too. So.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously I'm a real estate agent, and so I prefer when sellers work with real estate agents. But, you know, the fact is you're going to get more exposure when you are working with an agent or broker. You know, like you said, we can put together all these documents, offering memorandum, as you mentioned there. And it's going to look nice. It's going to be easy to read. It's going to get out to more people. And, you know, sometimes I've talked to property sellers where they want to sell a property, but they don't have any of this stuff in place. You know, they just get out a pencil and write down, all right, unit one is 750. Unit two is, you know, I got to sit there for 10 minutes to write down everything. And then, whereas they, you could just have everything already ready to go. So that's just one example there. Also, go ahead.
No, yeah, that's 100% right. I mean, but that goes back to that seller we talked about very first time is be prepared.
Yeah, exactly. Be prepared. And then there's so many websites that brokers have access to get the word out to other brokers who are representing the buyers.
Well, and more than just that, it's brokers have connections too, and the brokers know buyers more than what you know. So, you know, just that connection in itself, if you say, hey, I want to sell this building, they've got a list that's 300 people long or 500 people or even probably many, many longer actually. But 300 people that would fit into this kind of building. Maybe out of that 300 people, there's 50 people that they think are really, really good fits. And so they can send their list out or this property out to their list and have a really good chance of getting this thing sold really quickly.
Yep.
Without a lot of hassle, which a lot of people want. So, so the last thing too is make sure your apartment's ready to show, right? So have some of your best tenants available to allow showings. Have a really nice vacant unit or two. Most apartments, you know, if you got a 100 unit apartment building, and you've got 98% occupancy. That means you've got two units that are vacant. So have two good looking units available, have a show unit. And a lot of times you're going to have that anyway. So have some nice looking units available and then have some nice looking tenant units available so you can show. And then think about the person who's going to be opening the units up for the broker. A lot of times you're going to have an on-site person opening units up. Sometimes you can trust the broker to do that I shouldn't even say trust. It's just, it's set up to where the broker can do that. Sometimes it's not set up for the broker to do that, depending on the apartment. Other times it is. So if you're going to have some of your on-site, make sure you get the right on-site person, somebody that's pleasant to deal with, not the person that's not very pleasant to deal with. You know, let the managers, maintenance people know, you know, if they're doing a good job and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that a couple episodes ago, just having, when we talked about showing the property for lease, mm-hmm. you know, selling the property, you know, talking about it in a positive light, talking about the neighborhood in a positive light, talking yep. about the amenities in a positive light, you know, as opposed to, you know, just being down and, oh, yeah, this doesn't get taken care of. This doesn't get taken care of.
Right, you don't want that person showing your units. You know, you don't want that person that goes, oh, I don't like the tenants that are here or something like that. And it's like, well, just because you're a crabby person doesn't mean everybody should be that way. So yeah, you just want to have people that represent the property in positive light. Yep. Not saying you should have people that are hiding facts, but just right. representing the property properly. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, cool. I think that's about it. I mean, it's just the most important part is to think about what you're doing before you actually sell. So.
Very good. Well, You know, we've covered quite a few topics in depth here over the series. What episode is this? Number like 17 in our series or something like that?
Yeah, probably somewhere around there. Yeah, I kind of lost track. It just kind of started blurring together. But yeah, I think so, right around episode 17. And we'll continue to talk a lot about apartments and stuff like that. What I wanted to cover maybe next, or actually, you know, fairly soon, is out-of-state investing. I get quite a few questions on that. I had somebody that reached out on, I think, on Facebook or YouTube or somewhere that said, hey, I want to talk more about out-of-state investing. So we'll probably talk some about that, and that'll be related a lot to apartments as well, because that's what I do. Yeah, we'll just continue the discussion. If people have questions or want to know more about something we talked about, we can go in depth about it, or just give a little 5-minute, you know, answer to it. That'd be great. So reach out to us, you know, and let us know.
Yep, sounds good. You can find us on Facebook or on YouTube or on iTunes, all of those and more. Just look up Pillars of Wealth Creation.
Yep, awesome. Well, cool. John, I think that's it. That's a wrap. And we'll talk next week about, who knows? We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. And good luck with all your repairs at your building there.
Yeah. Well, we just got to get on top of it. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, things will turn out fine. It is what it is. We're in this position now, and we just have to fix it and take care of our tenants.
Yep. All right.
Awesome, man. Have a good day. Make every day a Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.